Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He started in a small town in Texas. Worked his ass off to become one of the most famous wrestlers of all time.
We're going to take care of business tonight, and that's the bottom line.
And now, he's dominating the world of on-demand audio.
And he's doing it for the working man.
This is a damn good outlet for me to spew the bullshit off my brain.
Yeah!
This is the Steve Austin Show. Unleashed.
Welcome to the Steve Austin Show. I'm coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California today. I'm sitting here in my office at 316 Gimmick Street. I feel a little discombobulated because there's some furniture missing in my office. Me and my illustrious wife, Kristen, had to borrow my neighbor's pickup truck to go move a couch and a couple other items over to a friend of ours' place. We're cleaning this place out, getting ready for the big remodel. They're going to put in three folding doors, tri-fold doors right here where I'm looking over at the courtyard. It's going to be badass. And then we're packing up all our stuff in our garage and putting all kinds of shit away. So it's been a real pain in the ass, quite frankly. And I had to borrow my buddy's pickup truck. You see, if we was in Texas, I wouldn't have had to borrow nobody's pickup truck because I got my own pickup truck. It's hard to imagine life without owning a pickup truck. But somehow, some way, I do it just using an SUV and every now and then a U-Haul trailer up here in Los Angeles, California. Los Angeles, California, at a building I was at just yesterday. This whole fucking town is built for small or mid-sized cars. I was at the damn dentist's office the other day using underground parking, and I spun around that goddamn driveway about six times in every fucking spot because I'm driving a full-size SUV, and it turns sharper than shit. Everything was built for a compact car. If you park in one of them sumbitches, well, you can't get out because that's how tight the parking lots are. So I miss my damn pickup truck. But my pickup truck is better off in Texas because it probably wouldn't like it out here anyway. Ain't enough room to drive the motherfucker around. Kristen, how you doing over there?
Fantabulous.
Glad to hear it. What do you got tonight? You got cardio, hip-hop, Zumba, or Samba tonight?
Zumba.
What time is Zumba?
6:30.
All right. I still got some work to do. I got to head to the gymnasium here in a little bit. I've missed a couple of days. Just been so busy. I believe Sam Roberts and Jim Norton are in town doing some podcasts and stuff. I think they're going to stop by tomorrow evening. We're going to shoot the breeze and hang out and talk about all kinds of bullshit. See what they're up to out here on the West Coast. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to getting down there to South Texas. Kristen, aren't you about ready to get out of here?
Yes, sir.
What do you think about this whole remodel process? It's going to be wonderful when we get back, but right now it's a pain in the ass, correct?
Correct.
I'm about to talk to Ted Fowler, 361, about this remodeling process because Teddy's a working man down there in Rockport, Texas. He's my guest today. I had all this shit going on. Ted had a couple of good stories from the Broken Skull Ranch. He's been out there doing all the work, getting the place gussied up for deer season, trying to mow, trying to fill up protein feeders, corn feeders, just about everything you can do out there that you need about five more hands out there to help out with, but it's a shoestring operation. It's Ted Fowler, 361, and myself, the whole labor force. Kristen maintains the interior of the compound. Me and Teddy maintain the exterior of the compound. And it's been so much rain out there. You're going to hear Teddy tell a few stories. You got some good ones. One good one happened in my Bronco, my green and silver 1996 Bronco I bought off eBay about 10 years ago. And my wife sure was hot at me when I bought that sumbitch, but you never even liked that green and silver Bronco, did you?
No.
You didn't like riding around it when I had it out here in L.A.
How could you drive like a lunatic?
I drive like a lunatic, but you didn't really like the Bronco.
No, because you drive crazy and it doesn't have airbags.
Oh, it doesn't have airbags and it doesn't have an ABS brake system. You're wrong on that front, Kristen. It does have an ABS system. It had a hot air bag and that was you riding shotgun. Okay, give me the fake laugh. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before I get to Ted Fowler, 361, and all his shenanigans, what's going on down there at the ranch, I got to take care of some biznatch here, and let's get into it. If you're looking for a little action on some of this weekend's football games, and get yourself to betdsi.com. use my promo code Austin25. That's Austin and the number 25 with no space, and get $25 free when you register. And hey, don't worry about playing with BetDSI. They're one of the original online sports books, been around for over 20 years. They set a lot of the lines you're already playing on, and more importantly, they pay. They've built a solid reputation on payment of winnings. They take professional and novice action, and BetDSI.com is really quick and easy to use. You can play from your computer or from your phone or tablet. They even got live betting, so if things ain't going your way at halftime, you can place another bet to try and cover. The site is so trusted that many professional players do their betting there. And right now, like I said, BetDSI.com is offering these two specials to my listeners. Just use my promo code Austin25 when you sign up and get $25 free just to try the service. Or take advantage of their 100% bonus on your first deposit. They'll match what you deposit. So go to BetDSI.com. Use my promo code Austin25. Austin and the number 25, no space between. Take advantage of their two great offers and win yourself some money. That's BetDSI.com.
Steve Austin, Unleashed.
Unleashed.
Yellow.
Hey, man, I was watching the World Series. Sorry about that.
God damn it, Teddy. You said you was ready to podcast.
Fuck, I didn't say I was sitting in front of my goddamn computer, though. I was watching the fucking ball game.
God damn. I'm on a schedule here. This is professionalism, Teddy. Professionalism.
Shit.
Who are you pulling for in the World Series?
Goddamn Cleveland, but the favorite is the Cubs.
God damn, man, I've been so busy, I ain't been able to catch up with the World Series. And I knew that the Cubs and the Indians were playing, and that was it. I ain't seen shit. I've been trying to watch some football. College football's been good, but fuck, man, the World Series. I love baseball. I used to play baseball, and they got 162 games. That's too many for me, but I always start dialing in, tuning in when the playoffs come around. But this year, fuck, man, I don't know. I just hadn't had a chance to get around to it. Neither team is one of my favorite teams. I don't know. I don't watch enough baseball anymore to have a favorite team.
Right.
But I watch the Women's World Series every year, College World Series, Fast Pitch. Those chicks are pretty badass. I enjoy watching them play.
Oh, dude, that shit's solid. Yeah, those girls are top notch. And it's like the Little League World Series. I mean, but I'm with you. 162 games is too many games for regular season. There's no way that you can stay tuned in that long. I'm a postseason guy. You know, I mean, I will watch a regular season game if I just happen upon it. You know, but I don't live and breathe that shit. Not 162 games, but the girls' fast pitch, hello. That and the Little League World Series, those are good sporting events, that's for sure.
Man, it's funny, back in the day, and you know, I don't know how far it goes back when guys started juicing in pro baseball leagues, when Jose Canseco, dropped the dime on everybody in that book. But you know, guys, you know, using white crosses and fucking amphetamine shit to stay up. I mean, you know, 162 game schedule, guys, fuck, that'll wear you pretty ragged. So, you know, guys looking for, you know, ephedrine, speed, any kind of thing. Now they're trying to clean the sport up. I just wonder what guys are using these days.
Yeah, dude, you want to clean the sport up, cut the goddamn schedule in half, you know? Jesus Christ.
Hey, man, you played a lot of baseball, Teddy.
Yes, sir.
Through college.
Yes, sir.
So did you ever get all ephedrine or caffeined up before a game? Because, I mean, yeah, going back to my days, I didn't play in college. I played junior league, little league, senior league, whatever it was. I was all-star catcher. But then I stopped playing baseball. I was chewing tobacco back in the day when I was playing baseball, because that's what started me on tobacco, and I quit that. But I never got into, you know, the real hardcore scene of it. What about you?
You know what? We were eating speed, that's for sure. When we didn't have any of that, we were eating no-dos by the handful.
No-dos and Vivarin. Remember Vivarin?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, you buy them over the counter by the bunch. Yeah, eating so many of those, it would just tear your stomach up. You know, and eating the cheapest aspirin you could, because your goddamn arm was going to fall off. But, you know, you had to pitch. You know, we self-medicated, only, you know, a lot of our stuff was over the counter.
Yeah. Hey, man, you just got back from the ranch. How's everything looking down there?
Yes, sir.
What'd you get done?
God damn. Started filling corn feeders. You know, I had planned to stay down one other day, an extra day, but I got that remodel in the country club that I have to get finished, you know, so I can leave out with a clear conscience and say, you know, see you in January. Got about two-thirds of the feeders full of corn. Those that have corn are throwing, with the exception of turnbuckle, you know, the one that we want throwing.
Right.
I think the motor shit out because I got a good battery, good timer in there, but the motor isn't firing, you know, and I just didn't have time to, you know, diagnose that because I was trying to fill everything up with corn. Got some more mowing done. Got the front end of my buggy fixed, you know, as much as I could in 2 days, you know, but it's a 24/7. 7 days a week if you really wanted to.
What else did you get mowed?
I'm starting to mow some of the fields, you know, where the feeders are.
Yeah.
How we mow them all down so you can see. Started to do that. I got the east side of the ranch, you know, pretty much slicked down. Got over by Tombstone, you know, but I can't get around the pond where the alligator is because, dude, the water is so high and it overflowed the banks. I told you last time we talked, you know, I drove through there with the tractor and it started getting a little squirrely. And I have, you know, I haven't tried to mow over there, you know, mowing the Mason-Dixon, all that stuff. You know, the place looks good. Now it's starting to dry out. I want to say it's starting to get a little cooler. You know, it was only 90 this last weekend.
Only,
you know, but dude, come across that big ass deer at Motel 6. I'm telling you, that something was showtime, man. He was. Granted, the opinions may change later on in the season when we start seeing more, you know, more deer with a hard horn. But that some bitch stood out. You know, you remember Dagger and his eye guards?
Yeah.
This son of a bitch had twin Dagger eye guards. I mean, they were every bit, his G1s were 8 inches. And you're matching, and I mean a solid framed deer.
What about his G2s?
G2s, G3s, everything. Mass, width, time length. That son of a bitch is mid to high 160s all day.
And you had him at 5.5?
I had him at 5.5, yes, sir.
Man, that's
going to be a good deer. Dude, stupid. I mean, I'm driving in the tractor. He steps out of the brush, and you know we're eyeball to eyeball for, you know, 10 seconds. Just looking at him. I mean, just symmetrical, heavy, good times. The G1s were just phenomenal. And he just, you know, turns around and goes back into the brush, you know, without a care in the world. Yeah, he's a good deer, real good deer.
Man, that's one of the characteristics, our traits that we have out there at the ranch. And for everybody, we always talk about the Broken Skull Ranch, our deer program, and that's all native South Texas whitetail deer. We don't breed them. We don't have any DMV pens. We don't use any damn semen straws from anybody else. We got a couple of bred does from a couple of ranches in South Texas many years ago, but those were all South Texas deer as well. So, man, just that one trait that we've always had at the ranch is just great G1s for the most part. There have been some deer that have been a shit, so we've called them out. But I would say that's one of the features of our genetics out there.
Yeah, our deer are real clean. They could pass any piss test going.
Hey, man, I was asking you what was going on down there the other day. You said you had a story for me about something from a bronco. What happened?
Motherfucker, wait till you hear this. And I didn't want to call you when it happened, you know, for fear that Kristen would hear about it, you know, because I know how she loves them snakes.
Yeah.
Dude, I got down there and got up in the morning, went to hook up the feed wagon on your bronco, because I think the starter shit out on your old man's bronco, but I'll get that resolved. Took it off the trickle charger. Checked all the fluids, tire pressure, everything's good to go, man. I turn the key, it starts up, you know, just like it always does. I hook it up to the feed wagon, go and get a ton of corn in it, and I start going around the ranch filling feeders. And I probably, now, you know, we park that thing under the shed or under the awning and leave the hood up so the rats don't get in there. You know, everything looks normal. I close the hood, I fire it up, I go and start filling feeders. Dude, I'm probably 4 hours into the morning filling feeders, driving down the Mason-Dixon, heading back to the ranch for another load of corn. and I don't know what I was thinking, probably not thinking anything about there by myself, and something caught my eye down by my left foot. I looked down. There's about a 4-foot rat snake down there on the floorboard of the fucking truck. Man, and I'm doing, you talk about having a tight ass. I'm doing about 20 miles an hour down the Mason-Dixon heading back to the house, not thinking nothing. And I look down, and there's that fucking rat snake. I start squealing like a little girl. I open the door. I'm stepping on that fucking snake. It's biting the shit out of my snake boots, which work, by the way. You know, but I mean, I know it's not a rattlesnake. I see that right off. Dude, I'm squealing and squalling and trying to kick that motherfucker out of the truck. Truck goes off the road. I'm on the side of the road, not into the brush yet. I'm like, motherfucker, I finally get that snake out. I bring the Bronco and the feed wagon to a screeching halt. Now, the grass is about thigh high off of the side of the road because I ain't mowed that part of the Mason-Dixon yet. Dude, in a fucking move that would made a ninja proud, I stood up, put my right foot on the windowsill of the driver's door. Obviously, the window's down. And in one fell swoop, I catapulted my big ass up onto the roof of your fucking Bronco.
Oh, come on.
Dude, Mike, I'm sitting on the roof of your Bronco. My right leg is on top of the door, and it's shaking like a dog shit in a peach pit, and I can't make it stop, man. I was like, motherfucker.
What, did the snake go out of the truck or what?
Yeah, I kicked the snake out of the truck, and, you know, just luckily, you know, I didn't fuck the truck or the trailer up, because that was way down on my list of concerns at that very moment when I looked down and saw a 4-foot fucking snake on the floorboard of the truck. That son of a bitch had to be in the engine compartment or up under the dash, and it got hot. And it went down onto the floorboard and was looking for a way out. You know, but dude, there's no – fuck, I drove around for hours with that cocksucker in there, man.
Were you whistling?
Boy, you talk – fuck.
So how long did it take you to overcome this this incident and get off the goddamn roof of my beloved 96 Ford fucking Bronco? Hopefully you didn't dent it or scratch it with your pocket knife. How long did you sit up there and just say, oh, I think the goddamn Elizabeth, this is the big one. I'm coming. How long did it take you to settle down?
Dude, I made a couple of phone calls just for a little moral support from some friends I knew. Dude, I drove that motherfucker back to the barn and parked it. At that point, I got into the tractor. I said, fuck that. Ain't going to be no snakes in the tractor.
And you know, yeah. The thing about it is, you know, like, what kind of snake was that? A rat snake?
Probably a rat snake, yes, sir.
But, you know, it's just the thing. When you see a snake, you just automatically assume it's the most dangerous, deadliest motherfucker or a rattlesnake. Even if you see it's just a black snake or an indigo or blue indigo, whatever, it's just the fact that it's a snake and you just don't expect to see one down there by the feet, by the gas pedal and the brake pedal, and it freaks you the fuck out.
Dude, my first thought was a black mamba or a fertilance. Both terribly venomous snakes, not indigenous to South Texas.
Exactly. Oh, I'm glad you said that because I was fixing to.
Oh, dude, that motherfucker, god damn it. I mean, you couldn't make that shit up. Look down and there's a fucking 4-foot snake down there. Yeah, god damn. I tell you, I almost slept in my fucking snake boots that night.
Teddy, when was the last time you ran?
Shit.
I don't think I've ever seen you run. I mean, because, like, I know you play softball or you didn't play this year. I think you had some injuries or whatever happened. But when you hit a damn ball, are you running like a motherfucker to the base? I mean, you're pretty fucking bit stove up.
No, dude. When I hit a ball, it's either a single or a home run, and it's, you know, a dead giveaway. So I can just lollygag. They call it Cadillac. I can just Cadillac to first base. Because when you hit a home run, you ain't even got to touch all four. All you got to do is go to first base and turn around and go back to the dugout.
Is that the new rules?
Yeah.
When did they make that rule?
You know, and it's been that way for a couple of years. It's an effort to speed up, you know, the ball game, because a lot of times you've got a 50-minute time limit. You know, so you get some of the big boys playing that are going yard a bunch. you know, and that'll eat up time getting, you know, getting old guys like me ambling around the base, you know, fucking around doing my Babe Ruth waddle and, you know, just hamming it up to the crowd. The umpires don't want to see that shit. So to speed it up, all you got to do is touch first base, turn around and walk back to the dugout. But dude, the last time I ran, shit, I think the last time you and I tried to light them fire pits. Not a lot. Dude, like that old joke, man. As long as I don't have to run fast, but as long as I can run a little faster than you, I'm good.
God damn. I mean, you know, right when I thought them fucking crazy ass guys were bad on Jackass, you and me go to start burning some damn trash down at the BSR and almost kill ourselves in the process. But I was thinking, man, you know, I was, if you could get. Because I used to play baseball back in the day, and I was pretty decent. I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke up my ass and say how good I was, but I was pretty decent. Like, to go out there, if I was to move to Rockport, Texas, and get in that league, like, if I could just stand there and, like, bat and have, like, a pinch runner. Not a pinch runner if I got to first base. I mean a pinch runner when I hit the fucking ball.
Dude, they haven't gotten to that point yet. No.
Well, Ted, whenever they come up with a league, I don't know if we call it a handicap league or a lazy motherfucker league or whatever, but as soon as they come up with a league where I can stand there and just swat one and let the dude take off like gangbusters and just run the bases for me, I'm in.
Dude, you will be the first person I call when I get that newsletter.
So, but when you hit a home run, if you jack a home run, so you don't want to trot around all four bases just for the fuck of it. You're just happy to touch first and go back to the crib.
Yeah, no, dude, that's yeah. Because if you run all the way around, you know, it's like you're a rookie. It's like, dude, act like you've done it before, you know?
What else is going on in Rockport? Anything good? Hey, let me ask you something. You brought up a damn remodel thing, and because you're working on a remodel down at the country club in Rockport. Holy shit, dude, we're about to get a remodel done on our house, and right now I'm sitting in my podcast room. It's my office where I overlook the courtyard. All right, that's bullshit. It ain't a fucking courtyard. It's my little ass front yard. Teddy, you've been over here. So they're going to put right here by my podcast window, they're going to remove this window and put in three trifold doors, and we're going to put a little deck in outside there so I can open this thing up, get some breeze in here, and then we're putting in some bigger doors to the swimming pool, and a bigger sliding door from our bedroom that goes out to the swimming pool. And other than that, just all new wood floors, and we're going to be done. But it's drawing all this shit up, and Kristen's working with the structural engineer. Got to draw the plans up, and then you got to pull all the permits, and they're strict as a motherfucker over here in Marina Del Rey. I'm 51 years old, Teddy. I've known you for 9 years. I know that's your business, but that pulling permit stuff, and I understand why you got to do it for code and stuff like that, but you talk about one big pain in the ass. I got through with a hell of a late night last night. I got up this morning, had to go do some more shit and take care of some business, and I get back. And Kristen's just expecting me just to start unloading all my shit out of the bathroom and put it in the garage. And then we got one of those pod things that we're going to put in the driveway, stuff all our furniture in there to get that out of the way while we're down in South Texas deer hunting. So we ain't got the pod yet. And she's already wanting me to move my stuff that's hanging on the clothes racks in my bathroom drawers. I'm liking, fuck, you know, if you, like, I'm a guy. So, like, just give me the heavy-duty stuff. I got a dolly. I'm going to Home Depot tomorrow to get me a couple of those flat dollies that you put furniture on. I'll load that fucking pod up like a motherfucker. That's what I do. But she's got me putting all these little bitty gimmick things. It's, you know, that's not the kind of stuff I like to do. And she's on my ass. So, you know, when Kristen gets on my ass, she stays on my ass. So you got to do what she says. I'm supposed to be the man of the house over here. But when you're remodeling a house, Teddy, do you want everybody's shit out of the way so you ain't got to fuck with it or move it? What's the story here?
Oh, absolutely. I don't even want the people there. You know, I mean, that's something you guys, you're really gonna have a good time with that. When you come home every night, you know, and your house is in various states.
Oh, we won't be here, dude. No, we won't be here. I go, we're loading up. The pod's going to come here, I think, in 3 or 4 days. I'm already taking. I took some shit out to Agua Dulce today, where I keep my Kawasaki stuff, And so we're going to load up that pod. I got to go to the dealers convention for Kawasaki for 5 days, and then we're heading down to Texas. That's when the remodel starts. So I won't be here when the remodel starts. I'm just saying we're just going through the process of moving all our bullshit out of the house into a pod so these guys can come in here and not have to fuck with our stuff and get the work done so that when we come here, we just reload everything back into the house.
Oh, yeah. No, dude, I forget, you know, how late into the year, you know, I mean, that it's already November and that you guys are spooling up to head to the ranch. I mean, you know, like you said, it's goddamn 90 degrees down here, so I really don't think of it as being November. But from a contractor's standpoint, do I want all of your bullshit out of the way? You're goddamn right I do, because I don't want to run the risk of breaking something. I don't want to hear... You know, hey, dude, I had, you know, 3 Rolex watches. Now I'm down to 1. You know what I mean? It's that kind of bullshit. When I get in there to remodel a house, dude, the first thing we do is tear shit up.
Right.
You know, and if you've got something of value, you know, especially, you know, the hammer swingers that I got, man, they don't know, Van Gogh from, you know, shit, I don't know, you know, from a minivan, you know, I mean, they give a shit. They're in there to tear stuff up, you know, and, you know, dude, nobody takes care of your stuff like you do. You know what
right.
I mean? So, yeah, I want a clean palette to work with. I want to know what you want done. I want all of your shit and you the fuck out of the way. Because we're going to start, and I'm going to turn my music on, and I don't want to talk. I don't want to be spoken to, and I don't need any fucking direction. That's me. that's probably not the industry norm, but that's me.
Goddamn, you're cranky as a motherfucker, and your price is higher than giraffe pussy. How do you stay in business?
Dude, that fucking phone won't quit ringing. I'm telling you. I'm telling people. You know, hey, dude, I'm... Can you get to me? No, I can't. I'm fucking deer hunting. You know, well, when are you coming back? The February 1st, which is a lie. You know, I'll be back before then. They're like, well, dude, the first Tuesday in February, go ahead and mark me down. I'm like, dude, you could get somebody less expensive and do it sooner. And you're willing to say, fuck it, and wait until I come back in February. Dude, all right, I'll pencil you in. I don't get it, man.
Well, hey, you do good work. people trust you. Hey, before we jump into some questions, when are you planning on heading down to the ranch? We're going to do our normal deal, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, are we flying?
When are you planning on... No, I don't know if we're flying yet or not. I've gotten several emails and phone calls from our wildlife biologists. Yes, we are going to fly, but I don't know when. So, you know, and it's going to be taking a look at everything for probably the first week, start pulling triggers, yep. And then go from there. And, you know, jump on tractors, get all the shit done that we normally do, and then haul ass. It's gonna be there and over by the time, you know, we even realize we're down there.
Oh, I know it. Dude, when am I going? Shit. Let's unplug this motherfucker. I'll leave right now. That's the frame of mind I'm in, you know? It's like, dude, Weasel wanted to go fishing tomorrow, and I'm like, dude, I really gotta finish this remodel. Because I already told the people, I only got... I signed on to do this remodel, and I told them we were going to break it up into 3 phases. And they kind of looked at me, and I tried to, you know, tried to tell them logistically, this is how it needs to work out. And I couldn't do it with a straight face. And I said, hey, man, I'll be honest with you guys. It's almost deer season. You know, I mean, I really don't give a shit about working. You know, you need to get me while my attention span is here. You know, but once we start slinging corn and the first northern blows in, you know, dude, you guys go stay in my house for all I care. Fuck, I'm going to the ranch. You know, yeah. So I'm going probably the 21st, 22nd of November for good.
Right.
I mean, as long as you guys are cool with that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, time to say thanks to another great sponsor, The Steve Austin Show. It's one that I take before starting any podcast, Alpha Brain. So thanks to Onnit, the fine folks who make Alpha Brain, who also make emulsified MCT oil. I know you guys are hearing a lot about MCT oil these days, and for good reasons.
It's one of the fastest sources for clean fuel for the body and the brain. It's one of the best ways to power up your performance or kickstart a weight management program, too. And the secret behind MCT oil is the medium-chain triglycerides. These beneficial fats support a healthy brain and provide a vital source of energy. And, of course, no one is doing emulsified MCT oil like Onnit. It comes in three great flavors: coconut, vanilla, and strawberry. And here's the best part. It mixes easily into your morning coffee or afternoon iced tea without using a blender. Stir it in with a spoon and you're good to go. So there's no mess, no cleanup, and that means Onnit's emulsified MCT oil is a no-brainer. You can also mix it into oatmeal or yogurt. And right now, if you go to onnit.com/steve, you can get Onnit's emulsified MCT oil for 12% off. And because it's Onnit, if you don't like it for any reason, you can get all your money back, no questions asked. So you ain't got nothing to lose. Go get yourself some emulsified MCT oil at onnit.com/steve and take advantage of the 12% off. That's onnit.com/steve.
What would happen if a well-known Chicago news anchor quit his job to drive a car for Lyft? What if he captured the real stories of the real passengers who ended up in the back seat? And what would happen if he aired those stories in a weekly podcast? I'm Anthony Ponce, and I did that. So download Backseat Rider at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe at iTunes.
Steve Austin. Unleashed.
Teddy, I sent a tweet out on my Twitter account, Steve Austin BSR. I said, hey, man, I'm talking to Ted Fowler, 361, on Twitter. If you've got any questions, send them in. So now that we're talking about hunting, here's a couple of hunting questions. Let's go ahead and get into. Hey, Steve, love the free audio whoop ass. I'm going hunting for the first time with my father-in-law soon and was wondering if you and Ted could give me any tips. Coy from Louisville, Kentucky. God damn. I don't know anything about hunting over in Louisville. I don't know if you got to wear blaze orange when you're out there. Some states have different laws. Coy, you want to be quiet. You want to be still. Don't wear white. Camo is the best option if you've got some, but if you ain't got some, just wear a dark color. And I don't know what kind of gun you could be hunting with. Does your father-in-law hunt a whole lot? Is he an experienced hunter? Because obviously he's going to be leading this expedition. You better make sure he's up to speed with safety and handling a gun and all that other shit. So, goddamn, Teddy, it's kind of hard to give someone a hunting tip if you don't know anything about the father-in-law that's taking them. Hopefully the father-in-law likes your ass so he don't shoot you and says it was an accident.
I was going to say, you better be nice to the old lady before you go out with her dad. You know, that's what I'd do. No, dude, I mean, and you know, I think it'd be cool for the son-in-law to ask dad, you know, hey, dude, what, you know, because I'm a novice to this, you know, what do I need to dress as? You know, I wouldn't worry so much about killing anything, about shooting anything. That's not the goal if you're just starting out. Dude, go out into the woods and take it all in, man. I mean, just do it for the experience. You know, you ain't got to, we've said this before, man, it's not the killing that's the fun part. It's the going out and seeing the stuff in nature, you know, that you don't see in your living room.
You know, and that's a great point, Teddy, because it damn sure ain't about killing. And you and me just have so much fun just looking at deer and taking pictures. I mean, our deer probably feel like rock stars. As much video footage as we roll of them, as many pictures we take. We come back to camp, we put our SIM cards in, and goddamn, look at this deer. Man, it's going to be a stud in a couple years. But it's just doing it. Here's one thing, though, for you, Coy. Don't wear no goddamn cologne out there.
It wasn't fucking cologne, man. It was Under Arm deodorant. It wasn't wearing no cologne.
All right. Here's the story. Goddamn, when Ted and I first started hunting together about 9 years ago, I didn't know what that motherfucker was wearing, and you know, I've always liked Ted. I didn't know how to break it to him. How did I say that to you, Ted? I was like, God damn, that shit you was wearing was so fucking loud, I could have swore you was going out to a club to try to pick up some trim.
Dude, that was our first time sitting in a blind together, and I was nervous as shit, man. And I just put on, you know, some Right Guard, some stick deodorant under my arms. And dude, you weren't subtle about it at all. We were in your Bronco driving down the road, and you turned the the dome light on, and you turned and looked at me, and you go, dude, what the fuck are you wearing, man? You're all dolled up like you're going to the fucking club. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude, it's just, you know, underarm deodorant. What the fuck? So I take my shirt off. I got a couple of shirts on. I take my shirt off. I'm wiping my armpits, you know, going, Jesus Christ. You know, are you, hey, dude, is that the front gate we're coming up to? You know? Yeah, I'm like, goddamn, dude, I brush my teeth, comb my hair, and, you know, it's not every day, you know, you're sitting in a blind with you. I'm like, shit, you know, it's
goddamn, yeah. I tell you what, we had so many does coming to the stand because they was trying to smell your fucking cologne. It wasn't a buck in sight, but you pulled in the does, so I give you credit on that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Coy, don't wear no loud-ass fucking deodorant or whatever it's called, and don't wear no cologne, and just follow your father-in-law's instructions. Be quiet and don't move real fast. Have a good time and enjoy the process. It's just getting out there, and like, you know, it's always fun because me and Teddy are early birds. He'll take his buggy, I'll take my buggy, and, man, off we go, or I'm in my Bronco or whatever, and, man, we're in the deer stand 30 minutes before sun comes up, or you know, at the last hunt, you know, we're in a deer stand until the sun goes all the way down. And it's not to try to make a shot on something when that light goes down to where you could make an easy mistake. It's just because, man, a lot of times that last light, you know, that hog will come out, or those coyotes will come out, something that you could take. And just the fact that you want to maximize your time, because when we get out there at the ranch, you know, the first thing is coffee in the morning, go to the deer stand. If you take something, clean it up, but then we work out, and then we jump in tractors and we start working our ass off, take a little break, and then we'll back in the deer stand, and, you know, probably cleaning something up, and it's just a whole process. So we just enjoy, I enjoy the outdoor part of it more than anything, and, you know, the deer hunting, you know, that's what we're there for, but it ain't the killing. So go out and enjoy yourself, like old Teddy said. And don't wear no damn cologne or any kind of damn loud-ass stuff that's going to offend your father-in-law. Here's another one. Hey, Steve, do you and Ted have a best and worst of hunting stories you could share from Dennis? Man, I don't know if I could say if I had a best or a worst hunting experience, because I wouldn't say the best was when I shot my biggest buck. That was cool. Oh, man, I think the probably one of the best hunting experiences I ever had, Teddy, was a long time ago when we had that low stand on the south side of the river, on the low side, and that's when we had all those turkeys. And that spin feeder went off, and I stopped counting when I got to probably about 100, 150. There was about 150 to 200 turkeys, and I swear on my life on this story, we're walking down the Sendero to that corn feeder when they came out of the roost from the trees, and the sun was just coming up, and the shimmer off those turkeys' backs, because they have that kind of, that, you know, how a turkey's feather looks, Teddy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They just swarmed, and they just ate up all the corn on the ground in about 10, 15 minutes, and they just all walked off. And you could ask most people that you know, hey, man, have you ever seen a real turkey, a wild turkey walking in the wild? 90% of the people are going to say no, because they've never seen a wild turkey in the wild. But to see that many of them en masse was just unbelievable. And that was one of the coolest hunting experiences I ever had. What about you, Teddy? You got one?
Dude, I think the funniest, I mean, the most memorable is the first buck that was shot on the ranch, that first cull that I shot. Remember that when you guys pulled that rib on me saying it wasn't?
That was a wrong deer.
Wasn't the cull? Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that still sticks with me. I mean, goddamn, I remember you. You know, I just tell them what happened. You guys, you know, you picked out a deer, cull deer, needed to be shot because it wasn't doing anything for the herd. And I wasn't as experienced, you know, in judging deer then, you know, like I am now. Man, I saw that deer an evening hunt, a morning hunt, and I brought back pictures. And you're like, dude, shoot that motherfucker. That's the deer. So, you know, because I didn't want to make a mistake. And then I wind up shooting it the following night. And you drive up, and I'm just proud as a peacock, standing there over that deer going, yes, sir. You know, at that time, it was the biggest whitetail I'd ever shot. And, dude, you don't say nothing. You look at the deer. You don't utter a word. You get in your buggy and you turn around and you drive off. And I'm like, oh, shit. You get about 200 yards away and you swing back around. And you come racing up to me, and I was drinking a beer at the time, and I put the beer down because I thought, if this motherfucker goes to swinging, I mean, it's going to be a short fight, but I'm at least going to have my hands free, you know? Yeah, and then you drove up, and then you started laughing, and you're like, God damn it, good shot. And I was thinking, holy balls, man. Yeah, that to me sticks out in my mind, you know, as one of the, you know, one of the most memorable hunts, you know, because, boy, I thought I'd fucked up badly. Yeah, you're a hell of an actor there, Mr. Austin.
I remember that rib. I remember that was a good rib. I always lose perspective of it because I'm me. But when all of a sudden when you tell these stories, it's kind of funny to listen to them. But I mean, and that was back before we really knew each other very much. We were just hanging around, and you were still kind of the acquaintance guy through a mutual party that we don't ever talk about anymore. But anyway, it's come along from there. We're still swinging 9 years later. All right, Ted, here's a question. This is from Steven in Odessa, Texas. He says, hey, Steve, when it comes to grilling / cooking, who's the better cook, you or Teddy? Teddy, I'm going to let you answer that.
I did. No, I think you're the better. You're the better at the grill. You know, I really don't. I kind of keep my talents hidden when I'm out there at the ranch. You know, between you and Kristen, you know, I kind of... I kind of dumb it down. You're like, I'm an old bachelor. I mean, shit, I'm cool with beanie weenies, you know, or, you know, shit, we can have cereal for dinner. And you guys are like, oh, man, we can't have cereal. You know, Daddy, come on, you need to start this meal off with a salad. And I kind of play that shit up. Truth be told.
You're in total batch mode, and I get it. Most time, I mean, you know, Teddy cooks his own breakfast, I cook mine, and then a lot of times, you know, for lunch, I'll just cook a double batch of everything, and I'll say, hey, Teddy, I'm cooking X. If you want to come over, come on. But we always eat dinner together. So most time, Chris will rustle that up. Maybe I'll burn a steak, or we'll put some deer sausage on, or something like that. So, I would say that I'm the better cook, but that's because, well, and any time we're down there, we're always eating over at my place. But I know you've got your system down, so I'll go ahead and call bragging rights to the better cook, just because I cook more. But we all got our jobs. We all wash dishes. We all do the same shit. So,
Kristen's the best cook of the whole fucking camp.
Oh, though. Yeah.
Hands down, dude.
If it was you and me, it'd be the same shit every night. It'd be a link of sausage for each one of us, a baked potato. Or it'd be a hamburger patty for each one of us, a baked potato. All we eat is two course meals. The fact that my wife is there, you got a salad, you got corn on the cob, which has been on the grill. You've got different vegetables, but she's always got a badass salad. So, yeah, she's the all-star. Me and Ted are just slugging it out, doing the batch thing. My wife's here, so I kind of upgrade a little bit. But, dude, I know that whole two-course meal thing all too well.
Oh, yeah, dude, I got a sign made up that says, we'll work for food. And that's what I do, man. I go out there and work. You guys feed me. I'm down with that.
Hey, man, let me see if I can find another question here, Teddy. It's Ted Fowler Podcast. Hey, there was a story in here. There's a question in here. I can't find it again. It says, Steve, have you and Teddy ever had any heat or come close to blows? And I can't find the question. I can't remember who asked it. I'm just going through this list. Dude, you and me have never had any issues out there at the ranch. We've had our ribs. We've played on each other. I probably played more ribs on you, but it's a free for all, and we don't rib a whole lot to begin with. Those things kind of stopped a long time ago. But nah, man, we never had no fucking beef. We don't argue about nothing. We both have the same goal. We're just trying to grow big deer and take out the undesirables. And work, and the outdoors is a passion. And the thing about Teddy is, you know, shit, he knows what he's got to do. I know what I got to do, or I'll say, hey, let's do this. But Ted goes and does his thing. I do mine, and shit, man, we hang out a lot, but we're also not together a lot. And that's probably the coolest part about it. We ain't got to sit there and hang out all day together and see, hey, what's up? We both know what's up. It's a working ranch. We got our shit to do. But I can't remember ever having a beef or an argument about anything.
No, dude, you and I have never had a crossword with each other, and you're absolutely right. I mean, we both know what needs to be done. We're both similar, you know, in how we are, that, you know, we're loners. You know, we know the task at hand, and we go out and do it. And, you know, if it's a big job, you and I will do it together. Otherwise, you know, you go do your thing, I go do my thing, you know, and then we meet up in the middle. You know, I mean, dude, we could sit down, you know, in the living room and watch TV and not speak to each other. And, you know, dude, there's no friction. Fuck, you're watching, you're watching this.
If we're watching the UFC pay-per-view, which comes on, and we watch every pay-per-view down at the ranch, or if it's football season, you come over to get dinner, the game's on. Fuck, we might eat dinner, and I say a goddamn word. All right, man, I'm on an ass. You get your dogs and go to the other house. So, hey, that's how it goes down at the ranch. Here's a question,
right,
Teddy.
Right.
It says, Steve, are you allowed to bait deer in Texas during hunting season? I live in Indiana. We are not allowed for some strange reason. Jeff. And he's from West Harrison, Indiana. There's a lot of states where you can't bait deer. And there's a lot of states where you can't hunt with dogs. I mean, there's only a few states, actually, you can hunt dogs with. I know Virginia you can. I believe, I know Alabama you can. In Texas you cannot. But you can bait deer in Texas. So, yes, you are allowed to bait deer in Texas during hunting season. And I think, man, in the South Texas brush country, you would have a hard time, man, because you've hunted some big country in Nevada with my brother-in-law, Mitch. And, you know, get to, spot and stalk using glass, you know, binoculars, spotting scopes and stuff like that to make a stalk. In South Texas, that's not going to happen. And I don't know how those hunting laws or baiting laws came to be. I should probably do some research on that. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think baiting deer is cheating, Ted?
You know what? I do not, because I think we have such a high population of animals. Obviously, we've got more liberal bag limits than, because I know in Arizona you could only shoot one deer a year, and you had to get drawn for that, because I think the deer population is so low. You know, I mean, that makes sense. Low population, big area to bait them in. You know, there's not enough deer density to make an impact. But where we're at, you know, Georgia, I think what can you shoot? You know, 4 or 5 deer a year down there in Georgia. You know, places like that where they're covered up with them. You know, I think baiting is a management tool. You know, to keep the population down, you about have to do that.
Okay, got to take care of one more sponsor who also happens to be a very close personal friend of mine, Diamond Dallas Page and his DDP Yoga. Swig of water for Dallas and all the lives he's changing with DDP Yoga. Y'all know that DDP Yoga has changed thousands and thousands of lives, including the lives of some of your favorite pro wrestlers. Guys that needed all the help they could get, Jake the Snake, Scott Hall, hell, Mick Foley, AJ Styles, he's still kicking ass. Kane, the demon Kane, uses DDP Yoga, and DDP Yoga can change your life too. And believe me when I say, Dallas has made it real easy for you to get on the program. His new DDP Yoga Now app means you can do DDP Yoga anytime, anywhere, and you can do it right from your phone or your tablet. You don't need no studio, and the app has a lot more than just the workouts on it. By connecting to a Bluetooth heart rate monitor, you can track your calories and heart rate in real time. You can track your pain, measurements, and progress photos too, all for free in the app. And like I said, you've got tons of workouts to choose from. The original DDP Yoga workouts, the new 2.0 workouts, and weekly live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center. That's a bunch of variety right there. And to make it even easier than he's already made it for a limited time, you can get the DDP Yoga DVDs for 15% off, plus 3 months of full access to the DDP Yoga Now app. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin. That's ddpyoga.com/Austin to take advantage of this great deal. Commit now. Change your life now. Go to ddpyoga.com/Austin to get started. All right, here's another question. It comes from Juan Marscal. Touching on a topic from last week, a pineapple on pizza. What is your favorite pizza topping? And Ted's. Hey, man, Someone asked me the other day, Ted, should you put pineapple on pizza? And I said, fuck no. You don't put pineapple on pizza. You don't put orange, apples, nothing like that. My favorite, man, I always go for the, what's it called from Pizza Hut? The extravaganza or the one that's got everything on it?
Right.
What is it?
I believe it is the extravaganza.
Whatever. So it's a pizza with everything on it or just a classic pepperoni pizza. Sometimes, you know, if you get that margarita pizza that's just light with basically just has nothing but that kind of white cheese on it, that's pretty cool too. But, yeah, my favorite pizza toppings is probably pepperoni and hamburger meat and those black olives and all that other bullshit. Ted, what about you? You just had pizza a while ago when I called you asking you if you wanted to do a podcast. Don't tell me you ordered a pineapple pizza, motherfucker. I'm going to be in a rock port tomorrow.
Book your flight, baby. That's what I had. Ham and pineapple, hand-tossed, thick crust.
Are you lying to me?
No, dude, I like it. I don't like tomatoes. I don't care for black olives. I like a pepperoni pizza. You know, but every once in a while, I throw the old Hawaiian out there, a little ham and pineapple. Little ranch dressing, a little garlic salt on it. Yeah, showtime.
I just found that question. Hey, Steve, I was wanting to know, all the years you and Teddy have been hanging out the ranch, have y'all ever come to blows or had any serious heat between the two of you? Thanks for the read. Jake from Fort Worth, Texas. Yeah, there's a lot of fucking heat right here, and it's about a pineapple on pizza. Boy, I tell you what, they got a hell of a card being built up for UFC 204, 205, wherever the fuck it is in Madison Square Garden. November 20th, I think, is the date. I'm going to call Dana White tomorrow and see if I can get on the card. It's going to be Steve Austin versus Ted Fowler with a pepperoni on a pole stipulation inside the octagon.
That's going to be my finishing move, the Hawaiian.
God damn it. Out of all the bullshit quirks you got with the food, I can't believe you like pineapple on a goddamn pizza.
Yeah, dude. I don't know how I got into that. Go figure. But, you know, like the extravaganza one, I don't like the olives and I don't like the green peppers, you know, and I don't particularly care for the onions either. I mean, when you get down to it, I'm kind of a pepperoni and cheese guy. Which is what I'll have, either pepperoni pizza or have a ham and pineapple one when I do have pizza. You know, but dude, I only eat pizza, you know, maybe once a month.
Oh, yeah, I mean, dude, I only eat pizza. I ain't eat pizza in a fucking blue moon. Hey, fuck pizza. Let's move on to the next question. How about a bullshit session on the crappiest vehicles each of you has owned? What's the shittiest vehicle you ever owned, Teddy?
Dude, that fucking Dodge that's out there in the driveway right now, that cocksucker ain't worth shooting.
Come Even on, though I got man. The overheat. You love that pickup truck.
Dude, I love that truck when I bought it, and I kept it in the garage. That son of a bitch was 6 years old. I bought it new in 05. After 6 years, I only had 40,000 miles on it because I babied that son of a bitch. Sitting in the garage, you know, and then the front end went bad. And then, you know, problems with the four-wheel drive. And I never put it in four-wheel drive. You know, it's a goddamn four-wheel drive truck, four-door, was, you know, sunroof, 20-inch rims. Like, I need that shit. I never put it in four-wheel drive. And just on a whim, I figured I'd put it in four-wheel drive just to keep things lubed up. And it fucks up, so I got to take it to the shop. You know, the recent radiator deal. You start that thing up and it sounds like fucking tambourine knocking and hammering and shit. And it's only got 110,000 miles on it. That Dodge, I'm a Chevy and I'm a Ford guy now. That's my worst
vehicle.
What
made you buy the Dodge back in the day when you bought a brand new?
Dude, I was going to Nebraska to go goose hunting and I didn't think that green truck had enough life left in it to get me up to Oshkosh, Nebraska to go goose hunting. So I went out and bought that Dodge on a whim, you know, said, hey, dude, I need a new vehicle, four-wheel drive. And that was what they had right then, right there. And I got the patience of a three-year-old. You know, when I went there to buy a vehicle, I was driving that motherfucker home, you know, and I did, you know. And, oh, dude, and the very first thing right out of the goddamn gate before the trip from Nebraska is over, the fucking headliner starts to come apart. You know, so there's the navigation deal, you know, your mileage and all that shit up on the headliner, you know, and the lights and all of that. Well, the fabric of the headliner starts to come apart. So they got to take it back to the dealership, redo all of that stuff, get all new sensors and all that, because I guess it's all integrated. That should have been the first tip off. I haven't even made the first payment on that cocksucker and it's unraveling, you know? So yeah, the Dodge was the worst vehicle.
Well, I'll be goddamn.
Yours?
You know, when I think of some of the vehicles I've driven, I would never say I had a worse one. I guess my first car was a 71 Formula Firebird, and that car originally came with a 455, but the guy that I'd brought it from had jerry-rigged a 396 Chevy motor in there. The transmission crossmember was kind of cockeyed in there, and it was the coolest-looking car in Edna, Texas, back in the day when I was 16 years old, and I had to work my ass off hauling hay, mowing yards, you know, working summer jobs to come up with the $1,500 that's what the guy wanted for that car. And so if it was not for my older brother, Scott, who's 2 years older than me, who is very mechanically inclined, who was always working on that car, whether it's repacking the bearings and the wheels, doing a brake job on it, had a bad starter on it. Shit, we'd pull that sumbitch over in a ditch so one of us could crawl up underneath it and tap that starter with a hammer or a wrench while the other guy turned the key. That car was the biggest piece of shit in the world. But goddamn it, when it was rolling, brother, fucking metallic brown paint, twin white stripes running down it, two hood scoops, spoiler, Krager Super Sports on all four corners. It was fucking pure gold. But from a mechanical level, it was a piece of shit. Hey, my wife sent in a question. I told people to send in questions to Steve Austin BSR. She sent me a question on my phone. She said, ask Teddy, has he started Walking Dead or Narcos Season 2 yet?
I've already watched all of Narcos Season 2.
God damn, we just finished the last episode last night when he got gunned down. Yeah. Spoiler alert. We just watched the last episode last night when shit hit the fan and him and Leon were there. God damn it, everybody was getting, they got LaKeika, got all of his main players, got Blackie, and it was just him and Leon. And boy, they got busted up pretty bad there. So we just finished that. And what we're going to do with Walking Dead is let it spin off for a couple of weeks and then just kind of binge watch them. That's what we like to do. So you finished Narcos 2. What did you think about the entire series so far? Because I heard they got 3 and 4 seasons greenlit.
Man, I liked it. I thought, you know, because that stuff is very intriguing to me, you know, the all the gang activities and you know, America's Most Wanted and stuff like that, that criminal element. I like those shows and I like watching that stuff. I have not. And dude, I got nothing but time on my hands now. You know, once the sun goes down, I can't work. I sit and binge watch all that stuff. So I'm letting The Walking Dead, you know, kind of gang up. I'll tell you what I could not get into was, God damn it, what was that show? That's how, what an impact it had on me. That after you guys got me tuned in to The Walking Dead, what was it? Fear of the Walking Dead or?
Oh, that's Chris something. Watches. I don't watch that one.
You talk about. Nah, I wasn't a big fan of that. I watched a couple episodes and I was like, no, not so much. But then Narcos was good show.
Narcos was good, and the guy I was talking to a guy the other day, and they said that the guy playing the lead character of Pablo Escobar was from Brazil, and so he learned how to speak what do you speak over there in Colombia? Is that Spanish? But it's a different language than Portuguese. But people on a technical level were saying, you know, he wasn't that great. Oh, dude, I don't know what he was speaking. I thought the guy was fantastic. Tata, LaKeika, Limon. I mean, everybody in the movie, everybody in the series is top notch. And the thing about it is, you know, Pablo Escobar did some unthinkable shit, but it comes off as half-ass likable in the fucking series.
Oh, you know, dude, you're absolutely right. I mean, that guy was a bad, bad man. But by the same token, you know, he did a lot of good things for a lot of people, you know. But I mean, a typical criticism, you know, they're criticizing his dialect or his accent or, you know, lack thereof. Dude, you ain't watching that show to see if that motherfucker's a real, you know, Colombian with his dialect. You know, that's like somebody listening to you going, you know, well shit, he doesn't have that South Texas accent. Ah, dude, don't nitpick. Don't do that. Just watch the show for what the goddamn show is. You know,
yeah,
don't
pick the fuck up. I'm sitting there reading subtitles, and I'm gonna sit there and judge him on his dialect or the twang he's got. No, I thought dude, he's kicking ass. Anyway, yeah. So you're watching that. We just finished watching. If you ain't seen Narcos yet, you got to watch. It's badass. Walking Dead, just one of my favorite shows ever. Me and Kristen are actually thinking about watching Breaking Bad from start to finish once again, just because that was so epic. But here's a question. Hey, Steve, I was wondering if you and Ted carry a firearm for personal protection. If so, what kind? Thanks from Jason in Georgia. I tell you what, Jason, there's a... Man, almost every time we go out anywhere on the ranch, we're carrying, whether it's a rifle, you know, if you're going to see a hog or a coyote or something like that, or a shotgun for snakes, or just tooling around a pistol. But, man, I'm always packing out there. I'm never in a vehicle without a gun. And so my go-to stuff for snakes is just a break action single-shot 410 shotgun. That's what I like for snakes. If I'm carrying one of my 308s around, it's just one of my 308s, nothing special, just a badass 308 sighted in, dead on at 100. And then if it's a pistol, man, I got a Glock 45 or a Glock 9 that I'll carry out there. I had a Springfield XD9 9mm with about a 20 round clip pistol, which I was carrying in my buggy, and that gun fell out of the cubby hole in my buggy and is somewhere on the Broken Skull Ranch right now. So that's what I normally carry out there. Is I had that Springfield, but I lost it. I always got a Glock. That's what we travel back and forth with, and my 308s. And a lot of times I'll carry my AR-10, you know, if I'm looking for hogs or stuff like that. Teddy, what's your go-to carry stuff?
You know what? Right now, driving around the ranch, I'm carrying a snake charmer, you know, single action 410 shotgun for snakes. I'm packing my 243 for hogs and coyotes because we're not shooting any deer. When I'm driving down to the ranch, I get a Colt 1911, you know, 45 that I carry in the vehicle with me. You know, got a Ruger 9mm there in the house, you know, on the nightstand there at the ranch. And then I got a SIG 245 on a magnet underneath the coffee table at the house, just in case anybody tries to get in. No, dude, but I'm like you, man. I don't ever go out that I don't have a gun in the vehicle, whether it's, you know, locally or there at the ranch.
And dude, I mean, and for as far as protection purposes, it's not really for that, but just because anything could happen in the heart of South Texas, always be ready. And if you're always ready, you're ready.
Dude, if I'd have had that snake charmer in the cab of your Bronco, there'd be a fucking hole in the floorboard. I would discreetly slide the floor mat over that thing. Dude, I have no idea how that got there.
Man.
Damn them rats.
Here's a story for you. Teddy knows this story because, shit, he's been out there for a couple of years. I got these deer stands. They're mediocre deer stands. But anyway, you can get about two or three people in them if you're going to film or whatever. We've got office chairs in them. They're insulated. They have carpet down. You know, they're pretty nice. So anyway, my dad brings one of his friends out there. And, you know, his gun discharges in the deer stand and blows a hole in my roof. And he never told me about it. And fuck, Ted, how do we find out how Bryant shot the hole in the roof? Because he never said, hey, Steve, I had an accident today. I shot a hole in the roof of your deer stand.
Dude, I was sitting in that deer stand, and the sun was going down. And it was like I was in a hot box because it's all dark in there. And I see this little circle of light on the wall. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I look up, and in the upper corner, there's a goddamn bullet hole. So I slide open the window and I stick my big old head out there and look. And just like in the cartoons, man, it peeled that metal back and it like mushroomed it out like a flower. And I was like, holy shit. I took a picture of it and I sent it to you. And I said, dude, who got excited and shot the fucking stand? And yeah, that's how we found out about that. Boy, I bet that was loud, too, sitting in that thing.
I know, but goddamn, it would have been nice if the sumbitch would have said, hey, man, I put a hole in your deer stand today when my gun went off.
Well, what about going back there a week or so later and there's a fucking lag screw stuck in there with a bunch of silicone caulking around it to try to, you know.
It tried to kayfabe
waterproof. Yeah, try to waterproof that thing. It's like, dude, yeah, nobody's going to see that. Yeah, no shit.
God damn it.
No shit.
The one time, I think it's off the damn question, but goddamn, I remember my dad said, hey, Steve, can I bring my preacher out here and shoot a spike or something? Yeah, you can bring him out here and shoot a spike. A spike is a deer with two, you know, like kind of popsicle stick horns. And I'll be, well, it's Unleashed Show. I'll be goddamn if the preacher didn't shoot a 5-point buck.
Yeah, fuck, he ain't going to be mad at you. Go ahead and say it.
It's like, goddamn it. My dad gives me a call. He goes, Steve, you know, I don't know if I think we might have a little bit of a problem. You know, I told Terry that we were shooting spikes, and he shot a 5-point. And I was like, well, I go over there and look at the 5-point, and there's a basket on 5-point, and I don't know how you could mistake this motherfucker for a spike. And the preacher had put that sumbitch on the ground. He was deader than a doornail. And went ahead and skinned him, gutted him, put him in the cooler. And shit, I'll be damned. If the sumbitch never said, hey, man, I'm sorry, I shot the wrong deer. So anyway, Terry, the preacher, hadn't been out to the Broken Skull Ranch since that incident happened. You remember that, Teddy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, did I told you before it happened, I took a picture of that deer, and I said, you watch, mark my words, somebody's going to shoot this because they think it's a spike because they don't have, you know, you and I got good fucking binoculars, you know, I mean, good quality shit. And I got them because you gave me a pair. And I said, dude, somebody's going to make a mistake and shoot that deer, watch. And then, you know, lo and behold, into the cleaning station it goes. Yeah. I mean, unless you can turn water into wine, that motherfucker's dead and it's going to stay dead. So, you know, all the sorries in the world ain't going to bring that one back.
Teddy, I've apologized for many things that I've done wrong in my life and for the many sins that I may have committed. I would figure, I just thought the guy being a preacher would have just said up to me straight up, man to man, would have said, hey, man, I know what I was out here supposed to shoot and I shot the wrong animal. I apologize to you. But he never did that. I thought that was kind of strange.
Dude, that's, you know what? Man, now I'm going to get all fired up. That's kind of the way the world's going, man. You know, I mean, nobody gives a shit. Nobody apologizes. Nobody has any respect for their fellow man. You know, whether you're not using your turn signal, not holding the door open for people, not saying thank you when people do nice shit for you. I mean, goddamn, dude, you're a guest on a ranch that you know, you would never set foot on, you know, if it wasn't for an invite from, you know, a good friend of yours. You fuck up. All right, dude, hat in hand, you know, say you're sorry to everybody. Don't just shrug it off and go, well, it is what it is. You know,
yeah,
I don't get it.
Hey, man, I got one for you. Steve, question is about the Broken Skull Ranch. Can we get an update on the wire-eating steroid junkie rats living in the garage eating all the damn wires? John in Toronto, Canada. Teddy, I ain't been down to the ranch in a blue moon. I've been trying to get down there. What's been going on with the owls shitting everywhere and the rats chewing up the wires? Have they been a problem?
Dude, the owls shitting and pissing on the where we park your father's Bronco?
Yep.
Sitting on the north side of the awning. They're shitting and pissing so much on that red iron. Dude, it started to eat away, real deal, started to eat away the sheet metal siding on the side of the barn. Swear to God, I walked up there and looked, and I was like, man, what the hell is causing that? And there's owl shit and piss everywhere there. There's two owls that are running around the barn that may have to try to relocate. as far as the rats go, dude, they've been pretty low key. Haven't seen too much damage from the rats, which is good.
You seen any rattlesnakes?
Dude, I still have not seen a rattlesnake. I haven't seen a rattlesnake in months. Real deal. Now, I saw a blue indigo. That son of a bitch about the size of a baseball bat and about 5 foot long and could care less going across the road. I mean, that son of a bitch was just slithering across the road, you know, without a care in the world. You know, those blue indigos are so cool, man. But I have not seen a rattlesnake.
I would really, if you could put up that owl mannequin that we got, or do something as far as a relocation strategy with those owls, that would be wonderful.
Consider it done.
Boy, I tell you what, there's nothing worse than when you got a couple of vehicles parked underneath the barn, you got the hoods up so the rats don't get in there and nest under the top of the motors, beside the valve covers, or just chew up wires. So that's why we open all the hoods up. But those owls get in there, and you talk about shitting. They don't shit like a crippled goose. They shit like an owl. And owls eat a bunch of mice and all kinds of shit. So if they're not just like straight up white diarrhea, it's little capsules that contain bones of mice. You can find a whole skeleton of a mouse inside a fucking owl dropping. And so those all get coagulated and collected right where your fucking hood goes up and your windshield wipers start, and they get all compacted in there. And when a truck has been sitting there for a couple of months and you're out there doing your work, building houses and doing work in Rockport, I'm in Los Angeles, and those owls are shitting on everything we got, and you go down there, it's a goddamn clusterfuck. And you need a high-pressure washer to get all the shit off the goddamn vehicles. It's disgusting.
Oh, dude, you're absolutely right. I mean, you're pressure washing the engine compartment, not to get the dirt and the grease off, but to get the owl shit off. You know, but so goes living in the country.
So I've got to take a minute to say thank you to the great sponsors who let me do this podcast for you free twice a week, and that includes DraftKings, the destination for one-week fantasy MMA. UFC 205 is next Saturday night, November 12th at Madison Square Garden in New York City, and I will be watching Conor McGregor and Eddie Alvarez fight it out in the octagon for that lightweight title belt. And if you're going to be watching and want to up the action a bit, then play fantasy MMA at DraftKings for your shot of the $300,000 in cash prizes they're awarding next weekend. And if you use my promo code UNLEASH, you can play for free with your first deposit. Playing fantasy MMA at DraftKings is easy. You just pick six fighters. You can pick both Alvarez and McGregor if you want. You can pick Miesha Tate, too. She's fighting Raquel Pennington. This is Miesha's first return to the octagon since losing the bantamweight title at UFC 200. And Pennington is coming off a win against Holly Holmes. Anyway, pick your fighters. Stay under the salary cap. And then rack up points based on how your fight team performs. You get points for significant strikes, takedowns, submissions, and knockouts. And if you outscore the competition, you take home the money. So get to DraftKings.com now to choose your fighters, and you could seriously cash in next Saturday night. Use my promo code Steve to play for free with your first deposit. That's my promo code Steve to play for free for your shot at over $300,000 in prizes. Only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Hey, we've all taken jobs to earn some extra cash, and if that's the position you're in now, there's an easier way to do that thanks to Uber. Uber's ultimate side hustle is not just another job. It's a totally flexible way to earn. You can turn it on and off just like your car. And if you have a few spare hours here and there, drive with Uber. If you're driving right now, you should be earning right now. So do it. Every day is payday when you drive with Uber, because you cash out whenever you want with Instant Pay. Instant Pay lets you cash out your earnings up to 5 times a day with no minimum amount required. And who doesn't want to be their own boss? That's what Uber lets you do. You're your own boss, and you know you're going to treat yourself well. So if you need some extra cash, if there's something special you'd like to buy, if you need flexibility in your schedule, if you just want to be your own boss, sign up to drive with Uber today. Go ahead. Get your side hustle on. Sign up to drive with Uber. Go to uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now. One more time,
uber.com/drive now.
What else is going on, Ted? Anything good over there in Rockport? How's the dating scene?
Dude, I did a job down the road. I got a prospect just popped up on the radar. Did a job on the south end of town. It's too early to tell whether the chick at the post office didn't pan out. As it turned out, she was engaged to a guy. You know, so that's kind of a buzzkill.
You were going to have an affair on Becky Lynch.
Well, I know. Remember, I was going to move to Utah. I was going to marry them all. I don't want to be the other man. You know, right. I did a job on the south side of town and saw a young lady about my age, not too shabby in the body department. Had kind of a cool dog, you know. So she's a dog person. I'm cool with that. You know, like I said, it's too early to tell. It's too early to tell. She's still in velvet. Hasn't got a hard horn yet, so it's hard to judge.
Hey, someone sent me in a question and said, "Hey, Steve, what is Kristen's biggest pet peeve that you consistently get yelled at for?" So I asked my wife, and she texted me the answer. She said, first of all, losing things, getting lost in your car. Today I was driving out to Agua Dulce, California, and I had to call my wife and get the route from her because I didn't know if I was supposed to take the 101 or the 14 straight off the 405. Forgetting everything is another pet peeve. Having to remind me to pick up the dog shit, not being efficient, farting. And then another text, she says, "But I love everything about you." And then she sends another text, "Not replacing the toilet paper when it's empty." And then she said, "Also standing anywhere near my cutting board when I get home from Zumba. That's my Zen space to start cooking. So I'm not supposed to stand anywhere near the cutting board while she's in there dicing and slicing up her bell peppers and onions and shit like that." And then she goes on to text for another couple of pet peeves. "Your underwear drawer is another pet peeve. Also, when you take your big shoes off and plant them in my closet so that I can trip over them." So that's how happy and we are over here at 316 Gimmick Street. Oh, my wife just sauntered in the bathroom. Come on in here, Kristen. I got Teddy on the phone. Say hello to Teddy.
Hey, Teddy.
Hey, Kristen.
He can't hear
because I got the headphones on.
I was waiting for you to talk about my pet
peeves. Okay, so are there any more pet peeves that I should know about?
I'll keep thinking.
Well, I mean, but other than that, I mean, I'm a pretty decent guy, right? I mean, just from summing it up, I'm not doing a goddamn thing right, but other than that, you're happy with me and you love me dearly.
Love everything about you.
Love everything about me. Okay. Kristen.
When you don't get the mail.
Well, you love to get the mail. When I go get the mail, it doesn't give
you
anything to do.
Well, then you start going through and you don't know what you're doing.
Oh, see, that's the thing, Teddy. If I go get the mail out of the mailbox, see, I'll randomly open a piece or two, but then she'll get mad because I've already opened stuff. She likes to be the first to open all the goddamn mail. I'm just looking for a paycheck. I'm trying to pay the bills around this motherfucker.
What's your pet peeves about me?
My pet peeves about you?
Yeah.
I have no pet peeves about you, honey.
That's
I love
BS.
You dearly. You're just a wonderful cook and a great human being, and you're just...
Ask Teddy what his pet peeves about me are.
Teddy didn't have a pet peeve about you. You cook A1 meals when he's down at the ranch. What would have a pet peeve about?
I don't know. I'm just curious.
Well, you keep him in line.
No.
Yeah. No. He's agreeing with me on the headset.
Oh, okay. Because I can't hear him.
Yeah. No. There you don't have any pet peeves. So right. Get out of here. I'm trying to conduct an award-winning podcast with an friend of mine.
Well, everybody's been clamoring about having Teddy on. So
I know. Well, Teddy's here. And they're going to get Teddy as soon as deer season starts. It'll be a good one when we fired up the microphones and we're sitting at the table having a cold one, Teddy, because we're going to have plenty of podcasts at the Broken Skull Ranch when deer season starts, because I'm expecting this to be an outstanding season.
I did. From what I've seen thus far, it should be real good.
here's a mandate that I'm going to go ahead and put out there. I know this is a podcast. It's for the working man. This goes all over around the world. A lot of people don't like to hunt, but I just enjoy hunting because I like being in the outdoors. And there's just nothing better than that. Being in a deer stand or out in the woods or whatever, you're stalking or whatever, just being outside. But, man, I'll tell you what, Teddy, I've been doing more research on predators and talking to people about, you know, the bobcats and the coyote situation. And you know me, I'm just not big on shooting bobcats. And I was talking with a couple of people, and they said, man, those bobcats can really decimate your deer herd. So we might add them onto the list of things to be on the lookout for.
I'll tell you what, we have a bumper crop of coyotes now. And I think they're on some of the surrounding ranches as well, because at sundown they go to squalling, you know, and there is a number of them. Now, of course, I don't see any of them when I'm driving around, you know, feeding or mowing or anything like that. But yeah, no, I think we need to lay the lead to those guys. And, you know, if we got to shoot bobcats, we got to shoot bobcats. It is what it is.
But the thing with the bobcats is they're just so damn pretty. I just don't like shooting them.
Yeah, no, they're super cool to photograph. You know, but dude, it's, you know, we're raising deer, not bobcats. You know, if they're,
well, but the thing about it is, you can start seeing, you know, a lot of times when hunting season comes on, you'll start seeing game pictures, trail camera pictures, and it'll be bobcats on deer, or where we'd be, it would be a mountain lion, but it'd be a panther, you know, on a deer, which we've only had one on the ranch, but the coyotes on a fawn. But right when you think, hey, man, a coyote can take that deer down, but a couple of them can. And so, yeah, you got to do what you got to do. Here's one for you, Teddy. Here's a new question. Steve, since you've known Teddy, where and what was the drunkest that you two got? And is there a funny story to go along with it? Sincerely, Vince from Jersey City, New Jersey. God damn it. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'll let you answer that one, because there's some fucking slobber knockers down there at the Broken Skull Ranch.
Dude, I remember one time early on in our drinking career, we were, fuck, man, we started early. I mean, the sun was still up. And everybody went to bed except for you and me, and we went outside onto the front porch at number two there. And kept on drinking. And, you know, man, I was telling baseball stories, and you were telling wrestling stories, and we were laughing and cutting up. We turned the barbecue grill on and had the top of the barbecue grill open, you know, because we're both standing out there in shorts and T-shirts, and it was kind of cool. And, dude, you were telling me a story. God, and I had to piss so bad. But I didn't want to tell you, hey, dude, stop right there. You know, stop. I needed to hear the story. Dude, I'm standing there cross-legged waiting for you to finish, thinking I'm going to piss myself. And then that was the night that you fell over the cooler. You remember that?
No, what happened?
Oh, dude, you were drinking either Crown and Coke or Crown and Seven. I forget what you were drinking at the time, but we were standing there at the grill, and we're laughing and cutting up, and you kind of lurched back a little bit and got a good belly laugh going on, and you wound up right with the cooler behind you, and dude, you went asshole over elbow. You went all the way down to the ground on your back, and you threw that fucking drink on the side of the house, got up, opened up the cooler, filled your glass full of ice, full of Crown, a little splash of mixer. Dude did not miss a beat and kept on, you know, laughing. And people inside the house come out because they thought there was raccoons in the garbage can because they heard the commotion. You know, and it's you and me pissed drunk, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning out there just laughing and cutting up. And that was on a Saturday, because the next day, Sunday, I was going home. And I got up about fucking 10:30, just feeling like poorly. I was feeling quite poorly. And I gathered my shit up, and I went over to your house, and I said, you were sitting in the recliner, and Kristen was in the kitchen. And I said, hey, dude, I got to tell you, the last night hurt me. I got to go home. I cannot work. I feel like shit. I will be unproductive. I'm hungover like a motherfucker. I have got to go home and get some, you know, sanity back here and get some fucking sleep. And dude, you were sitting there in the lounger on your laptop, and you're like, "All right, dude. Well, man, thanks for the work. I'll catch you when I catch you." And I walked outside, and I'm thinking, "Motherfucker, look at this guy." And then later, Kristen, you know, let the cat out of the bag, and she was like, "Oh no, that some bitch didn't move all day." Yeah, I think that was the drunkest that we have gotten. You know, because I mean, we drink a lot, but we always make it, you know, make the morning hunt. But that weekend was hard on my liver. I got
the old other time. Well, I mean, there's been a many times. Well, you're talking about a 9-year period, man. You're talking about a couple of veterans, but there was one other time. It was you and me. It just always turned out that way. It was you and me. And then I was walking across the front deck. I was probably trying to go off to the front yard to take a piss or something. But one of those boards on that deck was sticking up a little bit higher than the other one. I went fucking face planted on that goddamn deck and went down. Down goes Austin. Down goes Austin. I was like, "God damn it. I'm a fucking veteran. This motherfucker behind me, I just took a bump in front of him." I just got up, you know, carried on about business, went, took a piss and come back. But I'll never forget eating that front deck. You remember when I ate that front deck? Because it was a couple of them. There wasn't more. It wasn't just one. There was a couple.
Yeah. No, I do remember that. I do remember that. That was over at your place.
To your credit, I don't think I've ever seen you take a bump. So that's either saying that you've got better balance coordination or you weren't drinking as fast and as much volume as I was.
No, dude, I try not to be as active, you know, when I'm drinking, especially around you. You know, I know I'm going to be in for the long haul. I strap myself in, you know, like a goddamn racer. I get a 5-point harness, you know, and get strapped into that lazy boy and just start going at it. Because I know if I get up and start stammering around, you know, I break into a soft shoe routine, half fucked up on Jack and Coke, we're really going to have a problem.
The goddamn bad thing about it is when we're in Texas, UFC pay-per-views are 2 hours later because of the time difference. I'm used to watching everything early. Boy, when they got a good card going on and you and me are watching the pay-per-views, they don't start till fucking, I mean, they start 7 here, they start at 9 there. So by the time those motherfuckers are getting to the main event, we're about half smashed to begin with and tired from doing all the work and the hunting and all the bullshit. It was like, goddamn, throw the main event in the octagon so we can get this motherfucker over and go to sleep.
Dude, there has been one or two pay-per-views that you and I have watched that late in our drinking evening, I've kind of nodded off and woke up and went, "What the fuck happened in round 2 and 4? You know? You know, I mean, you sleep sitting up, holding my drink, you know, and I'll fucking nod off because if you sit where you sit and I sit where I sit, you know, you can't really see me. And no. I certainly can't see you. You know, so all of a sudden I'll fucking nod off and I'll wake up, you know, and my head's upright and I'm still holding my drink. And I'm like, "God damn, I wonder if he noticed that I, you know, nodded off there." And it's like, "All right, dude, I'm heading to the house, man. This is where I'm hunting in the morning. I got to go."
Well, I'm looking forward to hunting this season. I'm looking forward to get down there because we're going to get down there so late and then we're going to pick it up.
Yeah.
And put it in, like I said, man, first week we'll watch everything and then we'll see what we need to do. And hopefully we'll schedule with Macy and we'll do a flyover. It's going to be probably still pretty green, but I just like to fly over. I don't know that it's necessarily helpful per se because, shit, every time we've flown it, you've been up in the air with me. And there's a big red cow on the property, and most of the times we get up in helicopter, when you don't see a 2,000-pound cow, a red cow, you know, how are you going to see all of your deer? So I don't know that they're all that they're cracked up to be, but it's just fun to get up in a helicopter, and it's not that expensive to go for a ride.
You know what, it gives you a good overview of the ranch and, you know, kind of a way to look at it and see if there's any problem areas, see if there's anything that you know, we need to pay closer attention to, you know, any drainage, any washouts, you know, any problems, you know, with the fence. You know, and we always say every year, man, we're going to look for places to put up bow blinds, you know, but we never do. You know, we're always looking for deer, but it is cool to get up there and, you know, just get a different perspective of the land.
Well, it is. And also, like you said, to get a chance to get an overhead view of everything, the big picture, hey, what needs to be worked on, or like an area or some fencing. We ride the fences constantly, but get down to the low side or get on parts of the river, see a nice buck down there, or see some shed horns or some skulls down there, and maybe go try to find that. But it's just fun flying up there because Alex, the helicopter pilot, is so badass, you know. I've been wanting to take helicopter lessons forever. Maybe this year I'm finally going to get down there to Laredo. I believe Alex lives in Laredo or Del Rio. I think it's Laredo. And see if he can teach me how to fly a helicopter. But flying with that guy is so fun because, you know, some of the winds we get up there and all of a sudden we'll dial down on a buck and he'll swing that bird around and there's four of us in there. It's a Bell R-44 helicopter. That dude is slick on that helicopter.
Oh, dude, very much so. And I mean, effortless, you know, I mean, everything is super smooth and he'll stand that thing on its nose and swing it around so everybody can take a look at this buck. And, you know, Macy's taking pictures of it. And, you know, yeah, just that's cool. I mean, to be able to do that, to learn how to do that, you know, that's cool.
And one of the thing is when you get a bird's eye view from a helicopter, and you see what a white-tailed deer can do just as far, whether it's a doe or a buck, especially a buck with some wide-ass horns, maybe 25 inches out, you know, outside to outside or better, just a big-ass buck just threading through that brush and busting through all those thorns and shit. They're just some of the toughest animals you could ever see. And when you see them just out there trying to get away from that helicopter, it's amazing the athletic ability those things have. I mean, that's just why I just think they're so badass. I could just go out there and look at them all day long, but hey, it's a ranch and we got to do what we got to do. But when you see those things in action, you realize how tough they are.
Well, a majority of the time we see them, they're just walking around, you know, or they're, you know, half-ass, you know, trotting after a doe or something. We don't ever see them, you know, on that high alert, you know, hey, man, I got to get the hell out of here. It's like, you know, running backs in football ain't got nothing on those deer when they get spooked and start going through that brush, man.
Boy, but I'll tell you, man, there's been a couple of fights over the past 9 years, and you only see a good fight. You know, you just don't see them all the time, but man, when you see them doing battle, that one that I filmed a couple of years ago, I was hunting stone cold, and those three bucks, remember those two bucks started and the other buck tagged in, and I mean, holy smoke, these were big monster bucks, and they was fighting like a motherfucker, and one ran one off, and here's another one jumped in and started damn near a three-way, and they hauled ass, and they come back, their tongues are dragging out, they're trying to, you know, they're fighting for breeding purposes. And when you watch those summits throw down, mister, people just think, oh, you see a deer, it's all so nice and pretty, and they are. But you see these idiots, and I've talked about this on a podcast before, walking in these state parks or whatever, and they want to go out and feed the deer or feed the elk or whatever, and they get the shit kicked out of them because that's a wild deer. They live in the wild. They're just trying to do their own thing. They don't want you out there petting them, taking pictures of them, or fucking with them. They're very mellow. But when you go into a hard horn, I remember when I used to own my small ranch in Bernie, I had 118 acres, and I had this deer. He was an 8-point buck, and he was a pet. And I would go feed him, you know, when he had velvet on his horns. But once he went into that hard horn, you know, he shed the velvet off, his attitude changed a little bit because he knew he was in a hard horn. Then specifically when he went into rut, well, I wouldn't even go try to pet him because I know what's up. But those deers are some bad motherfuckers.
Oh, dude, I remember a couple of years ago I filmed one where the bucks were fighting and one of the bucks flipped the other buck to the ground and was kicking his ass. I mean, literally threw him to the ground. Now, that buck did get up and finish up the fight, but you talk about powerful. I mean, it's spooky. You know, yeah, get in there and try to, you know, let's all get along. You know, fuck, those things would kill you. They'd kill you.
Hey, Teddy, anything you want to promote before we sign off here? Have you written another book? Are you making an appearance somewhere? A new show to promote?
No, dude, I pretty much cleared my schedule until January, you know, January whenever, you know, when deer season's over. Yeah, I'm still on the first draft of my memoirs, so no, I got nothing to promote.
Teddy, have you ever thought about writing a book for dating for guys?
No, dude, I'll tell you what I would do. I would do a phone-in answer deal. Fuck that, sitting down and writing a book. I remember the hassle that you had, you know, with that book deal a couple of years ago. I remember what a pain in the ass that was. So, no, I'm out of the book writing. No, but I'll give advice to the lovelorn. May not be good advice, but it'll be advice.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. What we'll do is, once you get down there to the Broken Skull Ranch and get settled in, we'll send out a tweet over. We'll give it a couple of weeks to let this thing get plenty of questions, and we'll do a Q&A for relationship questions. And but see, this time, like a lot of these times, and thank everybody for sending the questions. But a lot of times, I just go through these things. I cut and paste them and put them in a section. I just start reading down, so you don't really have a chance to think about them. But to really be able to sit down and flesh out some of these problems, these heartfelt issues, we could give a solid bullshit answer to, especially if inspired by a few alcoholic beverages.
I'll tell you what, after that list of pet peeves that Kristen texted you, if that's not a fucking ringing endorsement for the institution of marriage, I don't know what is.
God damn it. I couldn't believe she had so many pet peeves with me. I thought I was a pretty good guy.
Dude, I'll tell you, the only one that made me scratch my head was standing by the cutting board after her Zumba class. Because you're in her Zen space.
No, well, I'll explain that one to you. Because I always stand up. You know this. If I'm not sitting, you know, I got my lazy boy recliner at the ranch. And that's my spot when me and Teddy are watching UFC. And he's on the couch about 4 to 5 feet away from me. But the angle is I'm back behind him. So he can't really see me. And I can only see him out of the corner of my eye. We're both watching the television. So that's our position on the TV. But the underwear drawer is another pet peeve that she has. I'm reading her text message. Now, why, at 51 years of age, Teddy, why would she give a fuck what my underwear drawer looks like? I got in your underwear drawer, and I think I'm speaking for most guys, and in the top drawer of my dresser, that's where I got my underwear and my socks. So what the fuck is there to gripe about if I got underwear and socks in my underwear drawer? And don't get me wrong, there's some other bullshit in there. There might be something, whatever. But no, Teddy, what do you got in your underwear drawer? Underwear.
First drawer is socks. Second drawer is my drawers. Yeah, I mean, the fact that they're in the goddamn drawer, I would think would make her happy. Yeah, no, dude, tell me about the Zen placement by the cutting board.
I'm glad you redirected me to that, because when I get home, when she gets home from Zumba, I'm already standing there, and either I'm just standing around, I have a drink in my hand, I've been drinking, so I'm just standing in the kitchen, because I always watch TV standing up. But
right.
where I stand in the kitchen, I lean against the island. And so right there is where her cutting board is. So when she gets home from doing her Zumba, and you know how my wife's mind works, there's always a million thoughts racing in her head. So when she's done doing Zumba, she wants to cook her meal so we can eat, watch an episode of Narcos, which we just finished. So, dude, since my wife's passion is cooking, she doesn't need me in her space. Like, so, you know, a lot of times I'm leaning right against the trash compactor. Well, that's right there by the cutting board. So, you know, she's got to give me the Iggy to move so she can get the fucking trash compactor open, or move so she can do her cutting. And I'm just sitting there looking at the fucking TV, watching, you know, Fox News, seeing what's going on with the election, this fucking train wreck we're headed to. So, yeah, that's what she's talking about. She's already done her whole day. She's organized. She's got her taxes ready. She's doing the fucking thing for the remodel. And then she comes home from Zumba, just wants to chill out in her Zen zone. And then I'm standing there, you know, like, basically blocking her from doing all her shit. So she says, would you please sit down and get the fuck out of my way? That's the bottom line. I just figured I'd pay the bills on this motherfucker. I'll be able to stand wherever I want to.
Damn, one would think. But
can I get another island built for your cutting board so I can stand right the fuck where I want to?
You need to get one of them goddamn islands on wheels so you can roll that son of a bitch around and lean wherever you want, just as long as she approves of it.
Yeah. I'm going to give me one that with an island on wheels with a fucking battery charged freezer for my ice cubes, my fucking crown roll, and my fucking water, and a goddamn cold tumbler. That's what I'm going to do.
She can run her own commercials. I'm Kristen Austin, and I approve of this island location.
God damn it. Teddy, it's been good talking to you. Teddy, any parting words?
No, man. Just everybody do their part and, you know, go out and vote and get out in the woods. Have some fun. Man, and don't shoot the first deer you see.
Great advice. All right, Teddy, enjoy talking to you.
All right, man.
All right, everybody, give me the go-home cues. I'm going to wrap up his podcast and ride off into the sunset. I want to thank old Ted Fowler, 361, on Twitter, Ted Fowler, 361, on Instagram, for joining me this week. Enjoy shooting the breeze with you. I'm looking forward to seeing you down there in South Texas for deer season. Man, we've got a lot of hunting to do. We've got a lot of work to do, and look forward to getting down there and doing it, getting out of California for a little bit and get down into the heart of South Texas. Hey, man, I was sitting there thinking of a video for a couple of you guys to watch. And I came up with two that I always go back to many times when I can't sleep at night. And two videos tonight. And it's George Strait. If you get on YouTube, it's George Strait singing Boots, Scootin' Boogie. And it's Brooks and Dunn, ACM Last Rodeo. It's a tribute show. And, man, George sings the shit out of that song. And he does an awesome job. And then the other video is Brooks and Dunn sing This Is Where the Cowboy Rides Away. You got to watch that video. And there's so much mutual respect between, you know, Ronnie Dunn and Kix Brooks and George Strait. These guys have been around the horn for so long and a lot of mutual respect, and they're really enjoying watching each other sing each other's songs. And I always like watching these videos when I can't sleep at night. So check him out. If you don't like country music, you're missing out. If you like country music but you've never seen these, I guarantee you, you'll enjoy them. I go back to watch them all the time. Hey, man, ProWrestlingTees.com, Steve Austin, BrokenSkullRanch.com. We're about to have a shitload of new T-shirts. All the ones I just wore for the new filming of Broken Skull Challenge. Broken Skull Challenge is going to be a season premiere on CMT on Sunday night, November 13th at 10/9 Central. And it's a badass season. This is season 4. And the athletes are badass. I've made some changes out there. Everything's badass. Coming up real quick. Sunday, November 13th at 10/9 Central. Hey, as far as beer, the best damn IPA in the United States of America is Broken Skull IPA. And you can find it at El Segundo Brewing Company if you're in town, 140 Main Street in El Segundo. If you're in Cali, you can get it at Whole Foods and Total Wines. If you don't live here, go to InsideTheCellar.com or BrokenSkullRanch.com and see if they ship to your state. I appreciate y'all supporting the sponsors of the Steve Austin Podcast. They're the ones that let me do this for you free twice a week. So big thanks to ddpyoga.com. Go to ddpyoga.com/Austin to get 15% off the DDP Yoga program and 3 months of full access to the DDP Yoga Now app. To DraftKings, go to DraftKings.com and use the promo code UNLEASHED to play for free with your first deposit this weekend. And to BetDSI, sign up at BetDSI.com and use the promo code Austin25 to get $25 free just for trying the service. And, of course, thanks to Amazon. They've been supporting the podcast since day one. And Amazon is the best place to get the Broken Skull Cold Steel Pocket Knife. Just $75 for the most badass pocket knife on the planet. And if you order the Broken Skull Cold Steel Knife through my Amazon links, Amazon will kick back a couple of bucks to the podcast. It won't cost you nothing extra. Ain't no hidden fees or charges. You can buy whatever you're planning on buying and help out the podcast in the process. And you can find my Amazon links by going to podcastone.com, clicking on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, and then hitting the Steve Austin Show button. I got Amazon links for Amazon USA, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada. Once again, go to podcastone.com, click the Killer Deals button in the top right corner, then click on the Steve Austin Show. Bookmark that motherfucker so you can find it in one step. Hey, keep listening. The 60-second AP News headlines are coming up next. Until then, My name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Download new episodes of Steve Austin Unleashed every Thursday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.